Shall we pray? Father, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you grant to us insight in your word. As we study, we receive revelation. Our minds are quietened to receive this afternoon. Light floods through our imaginations. It recreates our thoughts and re-educates our thinking. We all behold Jesus Christ, your Son, as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 16. Right. Verse 13. Who, this is Jesus asking a question, observe something. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Question. Now observe that statement. Who do they say that I am? And Matthew picks a word that is consistent in Scripture. And that word goes with how we talk generally. In other words, he can say it like this. Who do men pray that I am? Or who do they sing that I am? Or who do they preach that I am? It can fit into any of those things. Because this can fit into what you preach, what you sing, what you believe. Who do they say that I am? And then they give a lot of revelation, like we said earlier. Then he says, but who do you say that I am? And then Peter spoke up and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, and answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. I want you to observe how Jesus picks his words. He says, flesh and blood has not revealed. The word revealed is the word apokalypto, which is similar to the word revelation. It's more of a verb, okay? Revelation. Now, revelation means to uncover a truth. To lift the lid or barrier of knowledge. Pay attention. Flesh and blood has not revealed it. Apocalypse. Notice Paul's prayer. Did you observe also that as Jesus spoke to Peter about Peter's response to him, he now spoke about Peter himself. In other words, listen now, like we said, in the revelation of Jesus comes the revelation of who we are. That shows that your emotions say very little about who you are. Your experiences, your past. He says, look, I say to you also, which means Peter didn't know Peter. Hallelujah. Even Peter had to be told who Peter was. Because you sometimes you think, I know myself, and you are actually not telling the truth. I know myself. I know myself. Why? Because flesh and blood is putting you on the spot. Hallelujah. You know how Paul puts it, Galatians 4:9. He said, how that you have known God, or rather, you are known of God. Hallelujah. Rather, you are known of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So sometimes your opinion about yourself is wrong. Totally wrong. Your opinion, that is the way you see yourself, is wrong. I'm what he says I am. I call that one of the strongest confessions a believer can have. I'm what he says I am. You know, you say that when things are going bad. You say that when you don't feel like it. I'm what he says I am. I have what he says I have. I can do what he says I can do. Praise God. Rather than sing my circumstance, I sing what he says I am. When I wake up in the morning, sir, my heart is filled with pain. And then you say you have a problem. Why wouldn't you have it? So I believe true worship is pouring out your heart. Renew it first. When you renew your mind, and I want to hear your mind, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. Renew it first, sir. Praise God. Lord, you seem so far away. I love that song, so this is how I sing it. Lord, he says you're far away. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. So sometimes you need someone to tell you who you are. Hallelujah. If you don't like how you are looking, it means you have not seen Jesus lately. Hallelujah. If you don't like it, you know, you just need to see Jesus. And then say, oh my God, I've seen the wrong thing. I'm what he says I am. I have what he says I have. Notice, he says reveal. And Paul is praying. He said the eyes, no, Ephesians 1:16, said the power of our Lord Jesus Christ will grant unto you the spirit of wisdom. Actually, it's better said wisdom and knowledge of the spirit. That the eyes of your understanding, which you have used to watch Nollywood. You know, many songs come from Nollywood and films, movies. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That what enlightened has to do with literacy. So we can have spiritual illiterates. Glory to God. Someone gave you a comb and told you that comb is the anointing of the Spirit, and you took it home. You are illiterate. You are just like the fellow who came to Lagos and someone saw him looking at the bridges. Come here! How many bridges have you seen? He said, five. You're going to pay 1,000 naira for each bridge, 10,000 naira. The guy paid the 10,000. So he saw his friend. He said, ah, I go to Lagos. The guy asked me, how many bridges I count? I said, five. And he's 10, no. I'm now in Lagos. I'm a Lagos guy. You are just that. Hallelujah. We don't need combs. Okay, I'll take my face aside. I said we don't need combs to call the power of God. No, we don't. We don't need ankies. I can see Christians carry handkerchief all over the place. Where is this? We are protecting ourselves. Something is wrong with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, for some people, the Holy Spirit is everywhere but in them. He's in every other thing. But say, in me? No. I rather think a bottle of oil is holy enough to have God, or Anki is holy enough to have God, than me. Anki. And the way they respect the Anki, don't touch the handkerchief, please. Don't you know what it is carrying? Hallelujah. Some guys are angry at this, but who cares? Who really cares? Praise God. You got to learn to preach without being emotional. The truth has no emotions. The truth is neither feeling bad or feeling good. Truth is constant. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So he says, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the glory of the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Notice in the saints. In other words, your eyes have to be open to know what is in you. Glory to God. And what's the exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, as in the heavenly places, power above all principalities and power, might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is come, has put all things under his feet. Give him all to the church, heap in his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Chapter 2, verse 1, and you. Hallelujah. He fills all in all and you. Glory to God. And he says, who were dead in trespasses. So look at our present. We're full. Our past, we're dead. Now we are alive. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. That guy that you say, well, I used to do this, I used to do that. That is someone that is late. Late. That's late. Submission to Almighty God. We announce the demise, sudden demise, sudden departure, inglorious exit of the old man, crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. And we announce the arrival. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is, not he will be. Years ago, we used to sing this song. When I remember his promises, I shout, hallelujah. When I remember, I remember. The brother goes, this is how it goes. When I remember. So, someone will take a verse of the Bible and read the promise. And then, when I remember his promises, I shall, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, all things are passed away. Behold, all things. When I remember, that is not a promise, it's a reality. Hallelujah. That's not a promise. That is a reality today. It is that you will be, you are. I told you, 1998, I want to preach at a conference. I won't mention the denomination. And everybody read 2 Corinthians 5:17, all things shall pass away. Because the person who was reading it said, all things shall pass away. So they didn't bother to look at their Bible. And said, all things shall pass away. But I quickly shot my surprise, or else they say, you cannot preach. All things shall pass away. All things shall become new. You know, people saying, it shall be permanent. It shall be permanent. But not their salvation. What the Lord has done for me, it shall be permanent. You know, this thing about salvation not being forever is a joke. We can only be laughing about it. It's a joke. It shall be permanent, it shall be permanent. What the Lord has done for me. A cow. A household. Then why Jesus died cannot be permanent. God punished the devil. Hallelujah. The eyes of your understanding. In other words, you need to be educated about who you are. But Pastor, I'm a phlegmatic. No, it's fancy. I'm choleric. No, it's chlorine. You are neither of those things. No psychologist knows who you are. Anyone that wants to know you needs the Spirit of God to know you. You can't know us. You can't. John says the world did not recognize us because they did not recognize him. Look at that. He said the same way they didn't know who he was. They don't know who you are. It takes the Spirit of God to know you. Hallelujah. Are you still there? So he says, revealed on. Go to John 14 quickly. Verse 9. John 14. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Did I say this morning about people looking for scriptures to contradict the word? Oh, you got the message, right? Alright. John 14. Someone heard this. That Jesus said, he said, my sheep I've given to them eternal life. And no one can pluck them out of my hands. My Father who is greater than I. He said, no one can take them out of my Father's hand. He said, can't we legal ourselves out? I said, try and use your imaginations for better things. How did you imagine it? Religion is a bad thing. It's a bastard. Ha!
You think he arrested you? He didn't arrest you, he's keeping you. We're not holding on to him. He is the one holding on to us.
Hallelujah. Glory to his name. John 14. Jesus says in 9. John 14. Verse 9. Have I been so long time with you and you have not known me? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. Now, do you think Jesus was talking about flesh and blood? No. In other words, if you have a revelation of me, you have seen the Father. You have seen the Father. It takes revelation. Look at verse 20. He says, at that day, pay attention to something now. At that day, what will happen? Verse 20, come on. You will know. Now, the word know there is ginosko in the Greek. Ginosko means you will realize. And language scholars say, ginosko is just the same way you train a child in school. You bring him up to come to realize. He comes to realize, the child, as he grows, he comes to realize. In other words, there's a gradual progression of us coming to this reality. In that day, you will come to realize. Now listen to me. Your knowledge is not what makes him abide in you. Whether you know it or not, he is there. Whether you know it or not, your sins are forgiven. Whether you know it or not, God is your Father. But knowing it makes your Christian walk effective. In that day, you will know. That is, you will come to realize. And that's one of the reasons why we came for a camp meeting like this. So that as we teach, we come to realize. You come to see. Ginosko is also used to learn. You will learn it. You will learn it by teaching. You will learn it. And then you will come to see it. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. I said glory to his name. You will come to see it. And realize. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Revelation. Revelation means the truth is uncovered. You can see it. You can see it. You can see what God has done. Amen. You can see who you are. You can see what you have. And you can see what you can do. You see it. And when you see it, your mind adjusts. You know, because your mind programs information. So as you see it, your mind starts to adjust. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I remember my first sermon. My first sermon. That sermon was so deep, everybody was crying. No, that was not my first sermon. My first teaching conference. I created a conference for people to come and hear every other thing but Christ. And they came. And I made up my mind that no one would leave that room without crying. So I went in search of scriptures that have a magnet for tears. Weep, lament, wail. Put on sackcloth and ashes. Say, gather the elders. Joel 2. And I was doing exegesis. You know, some people can do a series on sin. So everybody becomes sinful. You know that people teach about demons? You are just possessed. And the Bible says, give no place to the devil. Hallelujah. By the time I was done, everybody remember brother Emmanuel Udoko. I will never forget that brother. So And I looked at him. How was the program? He said, I'm revived. Brother Emmanuel Duke, 1992. He said, I'm revived. So I went home. Yeah. Both the preacher and the audience, they need all the Pauline revelation prayers. Hallelujah. You come to realize. I told them, I said, God, I quoted Hosea 6:3. We shall know if we follow to know. I know those verses. You follow. I said, but then, how do you follow? You follow in the morning. Early in the morning. What Hosea did not say, I said it. You follow from your heart. Are you following sincerely? Check your life. Your leg may be following, but your heart is not. You know, I study those things. Follow. So we shall follow. The first day and second and third day, he will raise us up. That's the sermon. Oh, you didn't get it. So the third day, there's a third day experience. All these jargons people preach, I've preached it before. But he said, my sins and iniquities, you remember no more. Hallelujah. You will know. Anyone who teaches you any other thing but this is lying to you. So you will realize. Every teaching of the epistles is for you to realize that the Father is in Christ. Christ is in you and you are in Christ. That's what to know. Hallelujah. Any other thing that's been said is a gist, extra biblical gist. You will know. You know, we come to realize God in Christ. And that's why in our church, in our ministry, we've been doing a lot of series for some years now to correct people's impression. I was somewhere preaching and someone was angry that God is not easy. He was just unsettled. Are you saying? That God is not bad. He's not, you cannot. I said, why are you unsettled? He doesn't like the fact that God cannot kill. I said, if God can kill, why can't we? As He is. Hallelujah. In that day you will know. Look at John's Gospel chapter 4. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. If you're a preacher of the gospel here and you're watching me, don't find it difficult to change your course. If you are wrong, no matter how many people listen to you, you are wrong. No matter how many years you say you are wrong, be humble and change. Change. Make the adjustment. Don't feel somehow. Praise God. Don't feel anyhow. The Pharisees knew the entire Old Testament. And one boy, Jesus Joseph, Joshua Joseph actually, was not educating them. And that's the truth. Make the adjustment. You thought wrongly? Because no matter how long you preach something that is false, it doesn't become true. No matter how many people follow it and believe it, it doesn't change the fact that it's not true. Praise God. You make that adjustment. Just said that, you know, let to say that to someone. Alright, John 4. Jesus is at the well, you know, I see she's still there. And he's with a woman. Said the woman at the well. I said, to get that well, we'll see her. The woman with the issue of blood. Her name is woman, surname, issue of blood. Corinthian fornicator, first name Corinthian. Last name, fornicator. Okay, now, John 4, Jesus had a conversation with a woman. I'm just going to summarize it. You can get our materials, worship in spirit and in truth. I explained a couple of this here. And then the woman, in verse 19, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship." So there was a discussion between Jesus and this woman that, look, you guys say in Jerusalem men ought to worship. Of course, she's referring to the temple. So, but our father said we can worship in this mountain. So the discussion was where to worship. Now listen carefully to the background. She's fetching water, and Jesus comes to her and says, "Give me to drink." So if you knew the gift of God, in verse 10, you'll have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. So in that discussion, Jesus was talking about what is temporary and what is permanent. Again, he says, "I will give to you a well of water springing up unto everlasting life." So in that discussion already, the background, Jesus was making a distinction between something that is permanent and what is temporary. In fact, he said, if you drink of this water, you will thirst. But if you drink of the water that I give to you, shall be in you a well springing up unto everlasting life. So pay attention. So by the time she asks the question again about the place of worship, the temporariness of things still was in her mind. She said, "Can't we worship anywhere outside Jerusalem?" And then Jesus told her this. Listen carefully now, it's going to make sense. He said, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "When you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." She never mentioned the Father. Jesus brought in the character, the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. That is, salvation came out of the Jews. Talking about salvation is of the Jews. Verse 23. "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers." Now, true is not the opposite of fake. Pay attention now. When you hear true, is the Greek word aletheia. It has to do with what is the true state of something, that is the permanent status. Now that was used for John in John 1, verse 6 to 9. He's not the true light. In other words, he will point to the light. He will only point to the light. Jesus in Luke 9 talked about Luke 16, true riches. So when you hear true, it's in comparison to what is earthly. True worshippers. So, remember, Jesus and this woman were talking about a place. Jerusalem, a temple. Samaria, where she was referring to, a place. He said, you will not need earthly places to worship. For the hour is coming when true worshippers will worship. Look at it, John 4, 23. Shall worship the Father where? In spirit. Now notice, when it says in spirit and in truth, it's not talking about two things. In spirit, which is the reality. Listen carefully. Because they used to go into the temple and take something into the temple. In fact, people still preach it today. You must not come before God empty-handed. They preach it. So you go into the temple and then you bring an offering. That will worship me. And here is Jesus saying, you will not have to do that anymore. You will worship where? In spirit. In other words, unseen realities. And in truth. Which is the truth. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in reality. He's not talking about worshiping in sincerity. No, he's not talking about sincerity. Not sincerity. Sincerity is important, but he's not talking about sincerity. He's talking about the reality of worship. Are you still there? Are you still there? Now, what was Jesus talking about? Did you notice he said, he seeketh such. So that means the other ones who sought for it. He's saying God the Father never sought for anyone to worship him in a place. That is interesting. And this was a time when Solomon's temple was in full glare. So the question is, what then was the temple for? What was the temple for? Is it careful? Jesus said the hour is coming. Now it is. Where worship will be reality. Listen carefully. Go to Hebrews 8. Hebrews chapter 8. We're going to see what happened. Because we have this idea that we should correct quickly. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 5. We'll see what I'm talking about shortly. Who serve, verse 5, Hebrews 8, 5, unto examples and shadow of heavenly things. Not the heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. Now, this makes it look as though God asked him to build a temple. No. Don't get it wrong. God didn't. Look at the words that the writer of Hebrews uses. He says they are a shadow. The word shadow in the Greek is skia, skia. It means darkness. Darkness. What does that mean? That means you will not see the truth in it. Listen carefully. Darkness. There's nothing to know in a symbol. Now, you're going to see something now. Go to Colossians 2. See what Paul says about this. Colossians 2. Colossians chapter 2. Paul says in verse 8, beware. So I say beware. The Christian has to beware. Lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now, you think he's talking about something taught in the philosophy school? No. Look at this, Colossians 2. Look at verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath days. Let's take verse 17 together. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Again, the word shadow means darkened information. A darkened information of things to come. But the body, the word body there is soma. Now soma is used for actual things. When the Bible says Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 2:24, bore our sins in his own body, soma, in his being. So he's saying the reality is a person. So he says, don't let anyone judge you in meat or drink. He says, the reality is a person. A guy asked me one time, he said, do you take Holy Communion in your church? I said, we do. So how often? I said, every church service. I said, wow, that must be pretty expensive. I said, it's not expensive. I said, then how do you do it? Where do you buy it? I said, nowhere, we don't buy it, it's free. So how do you do it? I said, we speak. You just speak it. How? We teach his blood and we teach his body. There's nothing to eat? No. Someone said, how can the church not be practicing communion? Said, so that church is a cult. I thought it's those that eat that are in a cult. Not those that don't eat. You don't get my joke, do you? Hallelujah. See, these are a shadow. Glory to God. The reality is a person. Thank you, Lord Jesus. A shadow. A person. A person. Look at what he says. He says they're a shadow. That is, you can never, handling symbols, see the reality. You can't see it. As you handle the symbols, you will never see the reality. Because what Moses saw was heavenly. Non-material. Whatever Moses saw was in the spirit. He said, you said this, let no one judge you in these things. So go back to Hebrews chapter 8 again. Moses now, he presented to the church in the wilderness, that is a assembly in the wilderness, Israel. He presented to them a dark impression of the reality. The temple. That's why Moses himself never worshipped in that temple. For what? He never did. He gave them a priest. No, he gave them priest and a high priest. His own brother. A kind of a high priest that he gave leprosy. What kind of high priest is that? He does not, he's not taught by the king of the infirmities. No. He has eaten the infirmity. He has the infirmity. Levi. Or better still, Aaron. And so, he builds a temple. But you see, sometimes we don't read through a book. Go to Hebrews. Put your hands there. Go to Hebrews 3. When Hebrews 8, 5. Hebrews 3. See how he starts. I want us to read verse 3. For this man was counted, Hebrews 3, 3, worthy of more glory than Moses. Inasmuch as he who had builded the house had more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some, but he that builds all things is God. Now let's take verse 5 together, everybody. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. In other words, Moses' role was to point them to things that would be spoken after. Pay attention now. Look at verse 6. Let's take verse 6 together. But Christ, everybody come on, let's go. But Christ has a son over his own house, whose house? So if Christ is going into a house, he won't be going into a physical house. He'll be going into his house or his household. Whose house are we? So, if Moses knew, you know, we said, if you observe in the morning, I showed you Exodus 15:2. Moses said, before the law was given, he said, I will build an habitation for the God. I will make room. Moses knew that man was God's habitation. Anyway. And then, why then did he ask them to have a house? You know, he left them with all their sacrifices. Then he talked to God one on one. Let's leave this thing. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. He knew what was in that temple or what they were doing there. That was in his glory. Show me your glory. Hallelujah. I believe some believers still pray that prayer. Say, show me your glory. Lord, show me your glory. Well, you need to go back like 4,000 years to go and see the glory. We have the glory today. I said, we have the glory today. So why then did he give them a temple? Go to Hebrews 4 verse 2. Hebrews 4 verse 2 says, the gospel. So I say gospel. Say the gospel. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. Now, what is in the gospel? The gospel says, whose house are we? The gospel says, our sins and iniquity he remember no more. The gospel says, he has perfected them forever. That's the gospel. That's what the gospel says. The gospel says, now you come unto Zion, to the city of the living God, Hebrews 12:22. That's the gospel. So he preached the gospel unto them, to the same gospel, as well as unto them. But notice, but not mixed with faith in them that heard it. Same gospel. Same gospel. But not mixed with faith in them that heard it. So what was the result of it? Now, if the gospel is given to a man, listen up, and he doesn't believe it, that will be called unbelief. So, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, not mixed with faith. In them that heard it, let's take verse 3 together. For we, everybody come on, let's go. For we which have believed do enter into rest. For he has said, has one in my rock, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on the wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. He's quoting Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Rest. Rest from works. That is, hey now, when you believe, you do nothing. Believing puts the work on someone else and puts the receiving on you. But when you don't believe, then you have to do. I'll take that again. When you believe, the responsibility is on the one who gave you a promise or who told you a story. So yours is to believe and receive. But listen, when you don't believe, then you'll be left with your own performance. So, he gives the gospel to them to believe. They do not believe. He didn't believe. So, in the absence of what God should do, or what God can do, he now gave them what they should do. That is, the absence of the gospel will be works. In the gospel, we do nothing. God does everything. But in the absence of the gospel, we are the doers. So, here's Moses. He gave them the promise. He said, God said that he wants a kingdom of priests. He said, you know what, Moses? We don't want to hear God for ourselves. Go out, hear him, and tell us what he has said. So they appointed Moses a mediator. God did not do it. There's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Moses was a man appointed mediator, and he did a very good job. As the work started, he just employed angels. Let's do this together. What he did. So, in the absence of the promises of God, now, what is the promise of God? The promise of God is that you will cease from your works. Which God said to Adam way before Adam sinned. God gave him his rest. The seventh day. Rest. Eternal life. Rest. Where you are a beneficiary, not a performer. So, Moses gave this to these folks. Pay attention. In Acts 7:39 and Acts 3:19, we see that the law was given by the agency of angels. And that's why Paul says, let no one beguile you in the voluntary worshipping of angels. And Paul was talking about the law. In other words, fulfilling the law, pay attention now, and all the dictates is angel worship. So Paul calls it. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2. If the word spoken by angels was steadfast, that every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of the Lord. He never said the word spoken by God. He told you in chapter 1, verse 2, that God has spoken in his Son. God did not speak in the law, he spoke in his Son. If the word spoken by angels, Hebrews 2:2, was steadfast, that every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which was spoken at first by the Lord, not by angels? Are you there? God never spoke the law. Never did. God is constant. He's consistent. Everything he has said is in his Son. Never did. Angel. Paul. You can get our materials, Law and Prophets. You see a couple of explanations of this. But follow this. Look at Hebrews 1. That's why, you see, if you let me give you a small lesson. And this is how I study my Bible. I read everything in an epistle. Because oftentimes, now this morning before I came, now if I have a major text to teach anywhere in a book of the Bible, say Ephesians, I'll ensure I read that particular book 3-4 times. It's important. Because there is an argument that the writer is putting forth. If you observe Hebrews 1, the writer of Hebrews put angels in their place. He said, you know, it's like, which of the angels? He said, which? That is, all of them together. Uriel, Michael, Aurelel. Which of the angels said thee at any time, thou art my son? None. He expects you to answer it. Are they not all ministering spirits? Another word of saying, are they not houseboys? So when you don't believe the gospel, houseboys will take charge. Are they not all ministering spirits? Sent forth to minister for them which shall be heirs of salvation. They were supposed to minister for, they are not giving it. Now, in Hebrews 1:14, say, are they not sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? And Hebrews 2:2, say, if the word spoken by angels. What happened in between that? They are supposed to be ministering for, they are now giving instructions to. The difference is the gospel was preached unto them, not being mixed with faith. Are you following this? So he said, look, how shall you escape if you neglect so great salvation? So angels were put in their place. A lot of people don't say, look, which of the angels is God mindful of? So for he said in a certain place, what is man? Hallelujah. That you are mindful of. Not the son of man. Said not angels, man. Said when Jesus came, he did not take on the nature of angels. No, he didn't. What was he doing? He was carefully, intelligently discarding from our minds all the instructions, all the vengeance, all the legalism that came out from angels by the help of the mediator Moses. But he said Moses was faithful in the house. He only said concerning the things that will be spoken after. He was specific. So, why was the temple built? The temple was built because of unbelief. They didn't believe that God would live in them, but they would believe he would be in a building. Okay, so you don't believe he will stay in you? I will build a house for you. You will now be coming every year with animal offering. He gave them days, moments, times, how to eat, how to hold it in the temple and be shaken. And everything was in vain. Do you know how many years they did that? And everything was in vain. That's why Jesus made fun of them. He said, in Matthew's gospel, he said, which law was David obeying when he ate the shoe bread that was meant for the priest? So look at all of you. But greater than Solomon's temple is here. Hallelujah. God never dwelt in a temple. Forget all those angelic manifestations that they were seeing. God never. Pay attention now. So Paul calls it angel worship. Never forget that. So go back to Hebrews 8. So what did Moses build? Listen now. Everything Jesus was meant to do, Moses gave it to them to do. Everything. No, Moses gave it to them to do. Hebrews 8. He says, Hebrews 8 again, come on. So, the book of Hebrews does a contrast for you. Hebrews 8:5, which are the shadow of heavenly things. Notice that. What he built was a shadow of heavenly things. Now let's follow this one. It's going to be interesting. Go to chapter 5 verse 1. See how he presents Jesus. Chapter 5 verse 1. Now let's take verse 4. And no man takes this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God as was Aaron. Let's take verse 5 together. So also Christ glorified not himself to be an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Verse 6, he said also in another place, thou art the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now pay attention now. He called Jesus a priest. How would you call him a priest? He said, his work is to offer. And then, why then did Moses ask people to do it? No, they wanted to do it because they didn't believe the gospel. Jesus didn't become a priest after Aaron. He mentioned Melchizedek so you will know that somebody had before now. Listen carefully. Symbolized Jesus. way before the law was given. Never forget that. So he's a priest. You must pay attention now. Hebrews chapter 6, 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters into that within the veil. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Again, been an high priest. You must never lose sight of what I'm about to say. The high priest, Aaron, will take the offering into a physical building. A physical building they call God's temple. Then he will put the blood of the animal on the mercy seat. He now calls Jesus also a high priest. If you are not careful, you will think he came to replace Aaron. So in your mind, he will also take blood, as some imagine, and go into a temple. No, don't lose sight of this now. He has said to you in Hebrews 3:6, whose house are we? Don't forget that. Whose house are we? Never forget that. So just follow through. Hebrews 8 now. We read that on. Verse 5. Now go to Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9. Verse 11. Be slow now. Before we get to verse 11. Okay, that's one we should see. Verse 1 says, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. Ordinances and a worldly sanctuary. And there was a tabernacle made, the first. So he goes on, because of our time, quickly. He now says to us, in verse 6, now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. Notice that. Then he says, but into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. There was very clear in that temple that that was not the temple. Hallelujah. They had the holiest of all there. And he's telling you, the Holy Ghost made it clear that that was not it. So what was all the sacrifices for? Are you following this? Because the most important thing in the temple was the holiest of all. And he said it was not yet made manifest. My God. See what they went through. They'll get an animal that is spotless. Before they get one, they'll kill it. Take the blood carefully. And he says, after doing everything, he says, the way to the holiest of all was not manifest. Because it was never an earthly worship. Follow this one. So he says, Hebrews 9. He said, while, now look at this. He says, the holiest of all was not yet manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. Are you following this? Come on, guys, are you following this? That while he was still there, the Holy Ghost was saying, that is not it. That's not it. Because we have the idea that the Holy Ghost was in there, then when Jesus died, the temple was ruined from top to bottom, then the Holy Ghost came out and came into us. No. I preached it before. It's not true. Which were a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could never make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to where? Oh, you don't lose it. As pertaining to where? which stood only in meat and drinks, and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. Can we take verse 11 together? But Christ being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this build. Are you following this? Neither by the blood of goats and cows, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal inheritance or in redemption for us. For if the blood, now don't lose this one now. Where did he go into? Where did he go into? Where? Okay now. So slowly. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and of the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies the purifying of the flesh. Let's take this 14 together. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge what? From dead works to serve the living God. So where was the blood of Jesus used? In our hearts. In our hearts. He says, it purges your conscience. Listen now. In our heart. So everything the priest was doing was a function of works. The work belongs to Jesus. Look at chapter 10. Are you there? Are you still there? Are you still there? Look at chapter 10. For the law of this one, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never. So say, can never. Raise your voice a bit. Say, can never. The writer of Hebrews is so emphatic. He uses it so many times. Can never. With those sacrifices which they offered how many times? Year by year. Continually. Make the commas there unto perfect. It didn't make any difference how long they were doing it. What is in the truth is not the truth. He said continually. For then, see what he says. Would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. He's saying if it is God, it is done once. Hallelujah. Follow this now. But in those sacrifices is what? A remembrance. Oh my God. Do you get it? A remembrance of sins. Why did he give them the temple again? Because of unbelief. So he gave them a temple to remind them. A remembrance. I gave you the gospel. The gospel says your sins and iniquities remember no more. The gospel says they are forgiven. You don't believe it. So I'll give you a temple that you will keep going and remembering your sins. The exact opposite of God, what God has said. I will remember no more. But by their own works, they kept remembering. Let me see if you're following this well. God never told anyone to build a temple. Because in this temple is a remembrance of sins. Follow this. Verse 4. Let's take verse 4 together. For it is not possible. Can you imagine this? It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Not possible. Wherefore, when he, hallelujah, the promise of God, when he, so who was coming all along? It was not him. When he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings I don't want. This is the Old Testament. I don't want. So, who was taking the blood? The law of sin and death. Sacrifice, I don't want. a body you have prepared. Let's say verse 6 together. In burnt offerings. Everybody come and let's go. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sins, thou hast no pleasure. Are you following this? No pleasure. It was never his plan. Look at it again. Then I said, lo, I come in the volume of the book is written of me to do thy will, O God. Let's take verse 8 together. Above when he said, come on, let's go. Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sins, thou would not. Neither hast pleasure then which are offered by what? Offered by what? Offered by what? God was not involved in the law. He didn't give the law. Jesus told the Pharisees when he came to him in Matthew 19. So why did Moses give us a commandment? He said, because of the hardness of your heart. For in the beginning, it was not so. Follow this. Glory to God. Let's take verse 9 together. Then said he, lo, oh, everybody come on. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. It takes away the first. Hallelujah. It takes away the first, that it may establish the second. Let's take 10 together. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Hallelujah. Verse 11. And every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never. See how he keeps saying it. So the word can never must, it must be in your consciousness. It can never. It can never take away sins. But this man. When you read this kind of thing, how does it sound? Come on.
But this man.
But this man! Hallelujah. After he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made a footstool. Oh, let's take 14 together. For by one offering he has perfected. So where did he make the offering? He made the offering in us. He made the offering in us. He cleansed us with it. He didn't give something. He was the gift. You know, he did not present this in his death. This was in his life. When he rose from the dead, he became that offering. He had satisfied the demands of sin. And here he was, to perfect us forever. Forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So imagine. The temple is not a building. The temple is you. The offering is not blood. The offering is a person. The mercy seat is within everyone who is born again. How about that? Someone said, what kind of Christian are you? Are you an outer court Christian? Have you heard that sermon before? Outer court believer? Inner court? I've never preached it before.
I'm serious. I didn't get to that level.
Outer court, inner court. I told someone, I said, all the courts here. You are the temple of God. All the courts put together, whether it's inner, outer, within or without, we are the temple of God. I'm the temple of God. So where is the inner court? Praise God. Where is the holiest of all? No, lift your eyes and look up. Where does God dwell? So where is the holiest of all? So when the Holy Ghost was signifying that this is not yet made manifest, it was pointing to the new creation in Christ. I am the temple of God. I am the temple of God. What does that mean? This is the holiest of all. Your legs are shaking.
We are standing Unilag. No, look, wait, look. And I know, can you imagine, that there are angel worship. All around. That's how you use hologram. Let us pray. Let us pray. Jesus now. That is angelus trescia. Angel worship. We are standing in his presence. Oh, you know, complete the song. Take off your shoes. Hallelujah. This is the holiest of all. Say, this is the holiest of all. Where is more holy than you? Find it for me. Or the altar? Is it altar? Where is who is more holier? No, God, holier than thou. This is the holiest of all. Say, this is the holiest of all. You said it gently. You didn't say it well. E.W. Kenyon says, dare to say what God says about you. Can you be bold this afternoon? Yes, say, this yes, is the holiest of all. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. The Holy Ghost pointed to the church. This can be it. A lot of people say he doesn't dwell in the temple, maybe hands. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we are perfected. Say, I'm perfected. What about say, I'm perfect?
I'm perfect.
He calls it a true and perfect tabernacle. True and perfect. You know, in your head, you're thinking, what I thought about God was, there's a cloud that he stays in the cloud, behind the cloud. So he's there. Then his voice roars.
My son, come into my presence.
If you hear that one, that's an offense to the gospel of Christ. Paul said, Know ye not. That you are the temple of God and the Holy Ghost dwells in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What about carrying yourself like that? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There are songs you don't sing again. There are prayers you don't pray again. Touch me, Lord. Touch me. Touch me, Lord. Yeah, take and go. Hallelujah. 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 I am the holiest of all. Someone say, Pastor, let's just think I'm holy. My heart is shaking. Can we just say, I'm holy? I'm still struggling with I'm holy. Woo! How about that? How about that? You know, we are prized possessions of God. We are prized possessions. Glory to his name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you there? So, God didn't send anyone to build a temple. That's why Jesus said, destroy this temple. He knew this is the temple. This is a temple. He said, a greater than Solomon's temple. Solomon's temple was made by man. This is by God. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. You can't hear these kind of things and you're afraid of the rapture. Rapture? What's rapture? Rupture. What? He said, he's coming soon. I will never forget 1995. It was my birthday. I asked one brother to share.
Don't be led by the senses. So he came up to share. The brethren, Jesus, 1996, not 5. Said, Jesus has come this year 2 times. I said, Jesus Christ. He was already speaking. It was my birthday. I can't be doing talk on my birthday. He said, he has come twice. If I march this year, he came. But he saw that the church was not ready. So he warned that the third time he comes back. No. He said somebody died as usual. And the person came back. Lazarus came back and he kept quiet. Tychicus came back and he kept quiet. But it is today that they will be talking. Hallelujah. He said, the man said, the third time, whether you are ready or not, you look at some believers and you shake your head. What can we say to these things? He said, he took his own church, he cleansed it, sanctified it, and washed and made it holy to himself. Listen to me. The work of the church will only have one person glorying, and that is Jesus. How can you? Some people's imaginations run wild. That's why people have a lot of visions. There's someone who, to say that in the spirit realm, that they saw wave on. Like the guy said in the morning, Sare. That said, he killed lion. Wave on in the spirit. And you see those who have degree, PhD, LDD. You say, thank God for the life of sister so and so. She just came from heaven. And you will see people with lipstick. Even normal human bodies, when it begins to decay, you won't see lipstick again. You will now transfer it into the spirit. Receive sense in Jesus' name. Some prayer is not revelation, it's sense. Hallelujah. I am the holiest of all. This is where Jesus' blood was offered. This is the person he perfected. This is the one he cleansed. This is the one he sanctified. This is the one he purified. And this is where he lives. Glory to God. Sit down, woman, I'm not done. So the offering of Jesus was not external, it is internal. I go to prepare, remember, a place. Hetomatism. Internal work. The temple is his work. It's his work. I am his work. We're going to look at some of that in the morning. Make sure you come in on time tomorrow morning. I am his work. Do you know, when he said, you are the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. You know, there's a way you can read English in Yoruba. He said, my father is the husbandman. The only person walking was the husbandman. And then, in your mind, you think it's the branch that is walking. Which tree have you seen that is responsible for itself? I am his responsibility. And your mind just says, the branch, I am the branch. So I begin to grow myself inside the vine. No! The dresser is the Father. He's the one doing the work. We are the workmanship. Hallelujah. We'll see that tomorrow morning. Not now. Hallelujah. So I am the temple. Man is God's eternal resting place. If you think, one day
I will see you.
Whatever you're not seeing now, you will see you. Where do you want to see him?
I will see him.
Finally, it will just come out of me. You will cast him out. They will cast it. When you get to heaven, you say, okay, so everything is over now. In Jesus' name, Father, come up! Come. I'm here now. Yet he will live in you forever. Hey, listen. Get used to him being where he is now forever.
Get used to it. In that day, you will realize. You will realize. The Father will never live where he is now. Forever. If you expect us to go back into the senses to be looking for God, God forbid that. We'll stay where we are. We'll stay where we are. We'll stay where we are. We'll need that for another year. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Go back to John 4. Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. He said, I'll give to you water that springs up into everlasting life. Verse 14. Everlasting life. Something everlasting. Everlasting. Woo! Everlasting. He says, the water. What's he talking about? The water. John 3:3. Except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Except a man is born of the Spirit, he cannot enter. Jesus told us just one way to enter the kingdom, be born. People are saying seven steps, sanctifying grace. Look, you keep your nonsense away. Be born again. You are in. I'm born again. I'm in. I'm in. I'm in. I'm in. I'm in. I'm in. You know, years ago, I just didn't like John 3:3. I felt it was too simple. So I said, brethren, you can be born again, but are you born of the Spirit? You just make things difficult. Say John 3:3 said you will see. John 3:5 said you will enter. See inside. Say you when you are born again, you only see. We are all born again like this. But brethren, are you born of the water and then the Spirit? I didn't know what it was. But since they didn't know what it was too, they were in trouble. So they say, is your name in the book of life? They never tell you whether their own is there. Anytime they say, is your name, people ask him, is your own there? That question was never asked in the Bible. It is your name is written. That's what is in the Bible. It's not a question. It's a reminder. Hallelujah. You now do an album. Is your name in the book of life? The book is available on Amazon. You can buy it. Oshisko. Except a man is born of the Spirit. I'm born of the Spirit. Amen. 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 Glory, glory, glory. So in the true worship, we will see the Father. True worship is to see God as Father. In reality. It's not a feeling. It's not an experience. He is the Father. So Moses gave them a temple. Watch this now. That's what the writer of Hebrews now says in Hebrews 12:29. Our God is a consuming fire. What was he talking about? He said the things of the earth will be taken away. Only the things of heaven will remain. In other words, all the worship in the temple have been consumed by God's love. He consumed everything. And what do we have? So let us therefore now serve God with grace. Hallelujah. Not with things, but with grace. Grace is his own gift. He has consumed the Old Testament. He has consumed the law. It's not existence in our consciousness anymore. Glory to his name. Are you there? Jesus has made room for the Father in us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory. You know you are that temple of God? You know you are that temple of God? You know, there was a brother in, I forgot the year now, I think it was 97. I had to tell him, you know, there's some things you do for other people. I said, sit down. I said, you are going to say, I am a spirit 1,000 times. So that it will dawn on you. There are some brethren. Sit them down. Lock them up. You are going to say, I am righteous. I am righteous. I am righteous. 10,000 times. I am righteous. I am righteous. Till their mind gets a hold of it. Put the brother like that, brother Aziz. Say, you are righteous. But I'm not righteous. I say, you are righteous. You are righteous. We're almost fighting ourselves that he's righteous. Hallelujah. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know, there are some churches in Nigeria. If you teach righteousness through faith and they allow you to teach it, they won't come to that church again. Their eyes will be open. They say, ah, so what's all this for? Did they seize your Bible from you? Did they seize your Bible? You chose not to read it. The guy said, look at this. He said, when we, Romans 8:32, God, he who spared not his own son. Brethren, God does not spare his sons. How do people think? Do you think he will spare you? You can read the epistles with a legalistic mindset. You can. God who spared not his son. He said, one, run, red one. He said, we which were once afar off. He said, brethren, sometimes we are far. Once. Sometimes, sorry. Sometimes, he said, sometimes we are far off. I said, come. The Greek says, once we are far. Once. He said, yeah, it's once. I said, it's once. We were, we sometimes, sometimes, though sometimes in our life. We are foul. I said, hey, hey, sometimes. Say, hey, hey, hey. Hallelujah. Are you in church? So the writer of Hebrews, after finishing with Moses, said, he said, for by faith. Hallelujah. By faith. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, pardon me. It's impossible to please God. If you take that verse, I know they teach that to Christians. You want to please God? Brethren, brethren, you want to please the Lord? It took, and you know there's a voice of condemnation. You know that there's a tone. Brethren, or someone says, I bring you a word from the throne of God. Close your Bible. It's about to say rubbish. It's about to say rubbish. Please bring me a word from the written word. I don't want the throne. Lord, speak from above. For no man has ascended. Hallelujah. How did I get here? Okay, Hebrews 11:6. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh. That's not you. Because he says, we have come. We have come. That's not you. After speaking of the law, he that cometh must believe that he is, and the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's not the believer. Every time in the book of Hebrews, say, let us come, he's not talking to the believer. Because he's making an invitation. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16, that's not you. Let us draw near. With our heart full of faith, the source of faith, our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. That's not you. Glory to God. He had already told you your heart has already been purified. How can that be you again? He had told you that you have been perfected. You can't be the person that heart, your heart is being cleansed and your body washed with pure water. He has told you you are perfected. But it tells those who are to hear the gospel. Those are the same people he told in Hebrews 2:3. How shall you escape if we neglect that salvation? That's not you. We are already saved. Hallelujah. He that must call, he that cometh to God, that's an evangelistic sermon. So when you are preaching to be unsaved, without faith in Christ, it's impossible to please God. When you turn to the church, now you are come to Zion, to the city of the living God. Hallelujah. I'm what he says I am. I have what he says I have. I'm what he says I am. I have what he says I have. So God does no temple. God does me. Amen. Hallelujah. This is the holy place. Salvation makes you perfect. Paul is talking to people. He can see their conduct is unbecoming. Listen, a Christian ought to grow. You ought to grow. You ought to grow and walk in the Spirit. So Paul is saying to them, he said, know ye not? In other words, hear me. That is right. Their nature is perfect, but their conduct is not. He says, know ye not that you are the temple of God? You know, it is the same words that Jesus said in that day, you will know. Know ye not. So if you see a believer committing sin, even if it's a sexual sin, because in Bible, sexual sin is the only sin in the world. Even though they lie, they get angry, they don't feed the poor, they have fear all over them. That one is not a problem. The bad bites, evil speaking, malice. You know, legalistic people are the most unforgiving people. They are very principled. No! The soul that sinneth, Shaddai. Shaddai. El Shaddai. Legalistic men. Because the law worketh wrath. They are always angry. And that's why when they do all those services for vengeance, there's anger. I decree, the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Glory to God. Get this tape if you haven't listened to it. The wrath of God encounters with the God kind. Hallelujah. Always angry. And they're always self-righteous. They always see visions of people missing the rapture. It's self-righteousness. They always see it. They always see people with earrings in hair. But there was one brother like that. That brother, always about females and clothes. Say, brethren, you have to, this service, our salvation is nearer than what we first believed. It's nearer. So we're quiet. He will preach a whole lot of these things. So one day, he said he had received a sister in a vision. And when he pointed to the sister, he said, broken me. This sister, trousers, a ring. Man looketh on the outward. Man. Adam was a man. And he chose that sister. I said, with trousers. I said, I thought she's Jezebel. Said, the Holy Spirit said, I will change her. Oh. So, you are the Spirit of Truth. Glory, 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 glory. have what he says I am. I have what he says I am. I am the temple of God. So I don't do Moses. I don't do Moses. We don't go somewhere and say we are offering something. We don't come before him. We have come in Christ Jesus. We have come. Look at something in 1 Corinthians 3:16. I close. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, I was teaching a series in church recently. We called it the Greater Glory. And I said, many of us, when we come to service, we still have the temple mentality. So you come to God. As I come into your presence, I'm so happy. When I come into your presence, I'm so glad. In your presence, there's anointing. Your spirit moves. No, no. We change it to within me. Your spirit moves. It's not moving somewhere. In your presence. You see yourself as oppressed. Anointing breaks the yoke. Who has the yoke? We have no yokes. Stand fast in the liberty. Christ has made us free. And not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. So we don't have a temple worship. We have a family worship. Not a temple worship. Because we are that temple. We lift our hands. Not to talk to God in a distance. We lift our hands to practice His presence. We practice His presence. Because if you are already the temple, and you are not going to Him, yet you are told to pray, you are told to sing, you are told to praise, that means what you are doing is that you are practicing His presence. That's what you are doing. You are practicing His presence. Hallelujah. You are practicing His presence. Glory to His name. We don't come to God. You know, in the spirit, I'm closing on this. There are no distance. That's why you observe. Jesus in John 14:16 picked His words carefully. He said, I pray the Father, and He will give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees Him not. But you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. We'll see this tomorrow. In the four Gospels, you see Jesus and the church, all His disciples, eyewitness accounts. Because eyewitness account is in the senses. In the senses, you see distance. But as we step into the epistles, you will see Jesus and the believer. You will see Him in the believer. And the believer in Christ. That's why Paul's revelation was so distinct. You know, the other apostles took a while. They had seen Jesus in the flesh. So imagine Him telling them, I will be in you. It's going to take a while. It took them a while. But here is Paul on the road to Damascus. He sees a bright light and he falls down. Then he says, Saul, why do you persecute me? Now, Paul must have felt he's one of the people he was persecuting. So he said, who are you, sir?
in those wonderful lips of the Master, seeking truth to His word. I told you yesterday, your experience may change. His word does not respect your experience. Say, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom you
persecute.
If he has said, you are persecuting my people, he has changed his words. His words is, in that day you will know, I am in you, you in me. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. So his words are consistent. I am Jesus, whom you persecute. You can't take that away from Paul. It was so important to his revelation to say that you and Jesus, you are one spirit. Hallelujah. We are where he is. He's where we are. Oh, glory to God. Speak in other tongues. Where I am is where you are. You lead me. Sing that song. You are clear. Where I am is where you are. Where I am is where you are. Sing that song. Come on. You lead me. You are.